The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Talking quite a bit of collegiate football, specifically the Clemson Tigers this morning. Dabo Swinney yesterday dropping the hammer on starting quarterback Cade Klubnik. Fair or foul, the comments of Dabo Swinney on Cade Klubnik. If you missed those earlier, we'll play them again a little bit later on in the show. But effectively saying he wasn't good enough, he made it tougher on himself and on Clemson than he needed to, was just missing guys over and over, bad reads, missing, quote, base plays, etc., etc. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as the show progresses, but I am looking to you for your response, Clemson fans. Texter Spike texted the show, said, Rob, you weren't here for Danny Ford's reign. I watched multiple times as his teams ran through the wall. Look, I want to be clear. When I say running into the wall, I am not talking about a good, hard-nosed, power-run football team. I'm not talking about a team that lines up in the wing tee and just pounds the rock. Because if you can, and you can do that, and it is successful, go forth and be victorious. I am using it as a metaphor for people who do the same thing again and again and get the same results and are shocked by it. Who do the same thing again and again. And I guess this, you know what it is? Here's what I think it is. Because we had a texter earlier in the show who said that the frustrating thing or their belief is, it was Tolo J. Butane, who said Dabo was saying it to place blame and get the heat off of himself. And I got to tell you, I think there's an element of truth to that. I do. Because the majority of the criticism that I have heard from Clemson fans is, it's the same old crap. It's the same old crap. It's just doing the same things again. And if doing the same thing again and again results in the same results again and again, and then you keep doing those same things again and again, at some point, the guy calling the shots has to be held responsible. You know, Cade Klubnik isn't out there calling the plays, running the offense. And at this point, because, and this is, I bring it back to Dabo. When Dabo Swinney said after the hiring of Garrett Riley, we're not bringing Garrett Riley here to run the Garrett Riley offense. We're bringing Garrett Riley here to run the Clemson offense. Well, is that not effectively saying whoever is here is going to do it my way? And don't get me wrong. It is within the purview of a head coach to say, my way or the highway, homie. You're going to do it my way or you're not going to do it. Cool, done, got it. But if your way ain't working, and I guess this is kind of why I've hit this a few times. At some point, you just have to chalk it up to stubbornness. And while I know that to some people, stubbornness and unwillingness to change is endearing, it's also a great way to never progress. If you are stubborn and unwilling to change, I got news for you. Everything around you is going to change. And there will come a point, because this is just how objective reality works. At some point, when things around you change enough, your way can't work anymore. It just can't, because everything around you will be too changed for your way to work. I'm not saying you got to go through this like dramatic, sweeping, generational overhaul. I'm just saying if we're locking it into football, it's some way, at some point, defenses are going to change enough that your way can't work anymore. Why do you think people don't run the triple option anymore? Because eventually, defenses got big enough and strong enough and fast enough to stop it. At some point, being stubborn and saying, damn it, this is our way. Well, guess what? It doesn't work anymore.
So you were talking about progressing. How do you progress any further than a national championship? He's already won a couple of those.
Yeah, when was the last one?
It's been a while.
Right.
But it's not, to me, it's not a matter of progression. It's a matter of getting back to where you were before, which was the top.
Cool. But, yeah, we want to get back to the top. But getting back to the top doesn't mean that the way you did it to get to the top then is the way you do it to get to the top now. It's going to take a different set of circumstances, a different set of resources and tools and style. I'm not talking about style like me. I'm talking about style of playing, style of recruiting, style of using the portal, style of executing. It takes a different sort of style to get by than it did then. Like, I understand it. But it's just not going to get it done. It's just not. Like, what you did to win in 2018 was great, but it's not going to work in 2025. It's just not. So with all of that being said, I guess, like I said, the point for me is it feels like this is Dabo's stubbornness and unwillingness to change. Texas said, come on, Rob, how dare you mention coaches having to change? I mean, they can always coach UNC. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great example, right? Tom Brady leaves New England. He goes to Tampa. Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl. What did New England accomplish after he left when Bill Belichick kept coaching the Bill Belichick way? Not a damn thing. They won nothing. Belichick changed nothing. And without the equipment that he had in Tom Brady, he accomplished nothing. In fact, he accomplished the opposite of nothing. He accomplished nothing after Tom Brady left. And if he accomplished nothing after Tom Brady left, is that not the illustration? Bill thought that he was going to be able to rule with an iron fist his way back to success without Tom Brady. The reality is that was never going to work. Quick question. Are you higher now on the New England Patriots with Mike Vrabel at the helm than you were when Bill Belichick was at the helm sans Tom Brady? Because I am. There's a reason for that. The style of coaching of Mike Vrabel, I think, gives them a better chance of winning than the style of coaching of Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. It's a joke, but that's a perfect illustration. Here's another good text. I was going to do the audio blitz here, but you guys are killing the text line at 844-326-3663, so we'll push that. Texter said, Rob, I believe what you're talking about right now is why Nick Saban left the game. I completely agree. This is not new. It just happens to be that Dabo Swinney's still coaching. I have said a handful of times the reason that a lot of college coaches are outspoken about their dislike of the portal and their dislike of NIL, they're going to say, well, it's about the game. I don't want the game to lose its that. I don't want the game to lose its prestige. I want these things to matter. No, that's not why you're complaining. That's not why you're complaining. You're complaining because your job got harder. You're complaining because the way you used to do it will not work in the new day and age. You're complaining because now you got to coach a little bit more. Now you've got to be smarter about how you recruit, about how you get guys. Here, you know what? Let me play you a clip real quick. This is from Rich Rodriguez, who is once again the head coach at West Virginia. I love that from Rich Rod. Rich Rod's taken a lot of crap for his career successes and maybe more importantly, career failures. But I like that take from Rich Rod. He said, look, it used to be that you got guys in the locker room and he said, do this. And they just did the thing. And now guys want to know why. Is that a bad thing? If you have a good reason for demanding a thing of them, It shouldn't take anything out of you to say, yeah, here's why, right? Like, it is fine to lean on the old because I said so to your kids. That's fine. And hell, you can be a boss who drops the old because I said so on your employees, but do not be shocked when your employees go, yeah, that's not good enough for me, and they go work somewhere else. Do not be shocked if you're football players, when you say, I want X, and they say, why? As in the question mark, not the next letter in the alphabet. When you say, I want X, and they say, why? If you don't say, because this, we're trying to install this. The reason I want you to do this is because if you kick out that nose tackle, a lane's going to open here. The reason I want you to drop the hits and shift to the right is because if you can pull the safety over, we're going to be running a backside seam into his territory. And if you can get him focused on the sideline, we got a chance for a big play over the middle. It shouldn't be that hard. And then to recruit guys, whether it's out of high school or whether it's out of the portal, that line up with what you have in terms of values and work ethic or whatever, that's your job now. That's your job. And I do think that that last texture is correct. When I think he said, and I credit Nick Saban for this, I think Nick Saban got to the point that he went, I don't want to explain why to football players. I just want them to do what I want them to do. I don't want to have to deal with football players going, well, you know, I want this much money or I want that. So instead of grabbing the mic and complaining about it, telling everybody why their way's wrong and my way's right and we got to do this and do that, Nick just said, yeah, I'm done. That's enough of that. I don't want to have to deal with any of that. I think that to some degree, the stubbornness, the refusal to change the way it is done, while it has been endearing to Clemson fans about Dabo Swinney, I got news for you. You know why it was endearing? Because he won you natties. Because he had you in the hunt for 7, 8, 9, 10 consecutive years. Because you were a player in the game. It's endearing. Nick Saban could be an absolute a-hole if he needed to. You know how he paid it off? Rang after rang after rang. And if he didn't win a ring, it's because whoever did win a ring had to beat him to get that ring. If you hung a banner for 13, 14 years, if you hung a banner, you probably beat Alabama to do it. Or you beat the team that beat Alabama to do it. For 15 years, if you wanted a natty, you either had to go through Tuscaloosa or you had to stop Tuscaloosa from going through you. And when that is the case, you can be whatever the hell you want to be. You can be, hell, that's just America. You can be a butthole all the time. But if you're a very successful butthole, we celebrate you. But if you're a butthole and you're not a winner, we just all say you're a butthole and we don't like you. Like, that's what it is. America loves a winner more than anything else. We will put up with straight up anything, anything, if you win. Am I right, Ray Lewis? You get my drift? We'll put up with anything if you win. And for a very long time, Dabo Swinney won and won and won and won and won. But he's not winning and winning and winning and winning and winning anymore. Yeah, he went to the playoffs last year. You also got trounced in round one of a 12-team playoff. That wasn't, we went to a four-team playoff and we lost. You got trounced as one of a dozen teams who made it. And then you come back next year. And again, it is one game. There is plenty of time. Plenty of time for this team to get it right. But here's what I know from game number one. The play calling was boring. The play calling was unimaginative. It was uninspired. It was the exact same play calling that made you have to go gut out an ACC win to punch your ticket or not go last year. And you came back and you did it right away. And then right after it happens, and again, Cade Klubnik played poorly. I'm not disagreeing with that from Dabo Swinney. How much of it was maybe Cade isn't what he was cracked up to be? And how much was it, hey, he can only work with what you play call and put around him, right? Maybe you'd have thrown Tom Brady himself out there and it would not have mattered because you just didn't play call a good game. How much of it is that? I think the answer isn't zero. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. From right now, we got a lot more to get to on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So I'm going to break away from college football here for just a moment because this story is very interesting to me. I don't know how many people are going to find it interesting. Certainly not if you're, well, you know what I would say? Even if you're not an NBA guy, this story's got to be somewhat interesting.
It could possibly have ramifications across sports because if it's being done here, it might be done in other pro sports
too. Yeah.
At least the ones that have a salary cap.
Pablo Torre has a podcast called Pablo Torre Finds Out. And Pablo, to his credit, has done a lot of investigative stories over the past handful or so of months. And while a lot of folks have had criticism of Pablo Torre, I would like to point out that to date, none of these stories that he is, I'm going to use the word broken, and I think the use of the word broken is fair. None of the stories that he has broken so far have been pushed back against as incorrect or fraudulent or whatever. So, Pablo Torre put up a tweet at 6:02 this morning that says, exclusive, Kawhi Leonard signed a $28 million endorsement deal for a no-show job with a fraudulent tree planting company funded by $50 million from Clippers owner Steve Ballmer, according to documents obtained by Pablo Torre. Torre says it was an inside source told him it was a way to circumvent the salary cap. There was a little bit of a surprise when Kawhi Leonard, who, yes, even at this stage in his career, Kawhi Leonard can still play. And so when Kawhi Leonard went to the Clippers, there was a decent-sized money difference. And a lot of folks kind of chalked it up to, because this wasn't the only move that got made this offseason by the Clips. They're also bringing back Chris Paul. There was a pretty good-sized money difference. And a lot of folks were like, does Kawhi Leonard just want to win that bad? And if he does want to win that bad, does Kawhi Leonard really want to try to win with the LA Clippers? Like, is that really the best chance he has to win? Like, why not go join the, like, why not become a Spurs again or something, right? Anyway, apparently, according to Pablo Torre, and we'll find out as more about this breaks, because you better believe that if he's got the docs, if he's got the receipts to drop on Steve Ballmer and the LA Clippers, I've got to assume somewhere right now, Adam Silver's having an aneurysm about this. Because, y'all, there were entire story arcs of The Sopranos dedicated to the mob getting money from no-call, no-show jobs, right? Where people would pay Tony and the gang for no-show jobs for protection money, right? This is Steve Ballmer, if the way Pablo worded it is accurate. And he did put up a clip. I was tempted to play it, but it's like 4.5 minutes long, so I'm going to watch it during the break to see what gets said when they broke this story on the air. But if this happened, this is a big-time problem for the Clippers. It's a big-time problem for the NBA at large. There are these rules that are put into place so that fans have some level of belief that there is, like, there's an equal chance for everybody, right? Like, I've made the argument for the Los Angeles Dodgers, because the Dodgers are just signing every dude that they want and making it very difficult for other teams to get free agents. But the take I've had on the now extinct Bet for the Cycle show, and I've said it on this show as well, the take I've had at large has been and primarily been the Dodgers aren't breaking any rules. If the MLB, under their collective bargaining agreement with players, has allowed for deferred payments of salary, then you can't really get mad at the LA Dodgers for deciding that they are going to use deferred payments for salary, even if it is for literally $1 billion. Texter just said, Rob said career instead of career. Yes, I did, because I was talking about, now I'm even afraid to say Kiwi.
He's been having a little problem the last few minutes of going Elmer Fudd, and I don't know if it's catching. I hope not, but you never know.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard's name got into my career choices there for a minute. My bad. So this story could turn into something. This story, because if it turns out that an NBA owner was propping up fake companies and then no-show jobbing a player that was a free agent that could have been on your favorite NBA team, but an owner propped up a fake company to effectively give him a $28 million signing bonus, but he couldn't just give him the bonus. Especially considering, and I guess this is the part that's going to be interesting. I don't know where is, I need to go look this up. I'm out of the basketball mindset right now. And unfortunately for me in this exact moment, I don't exactly have the salary cap figures of the LA Clippers memorized going into the offseason. I don't know what the salary cap number for the LA Clippers is.
Slacker,
I know,
man.
I'm real bad at this job. I don't know what the salary cap number for the LA Clippers is. What I do know is the NBA obviously has the luxury tax. You are in the NBA, you may absolutely go over the salary cap with the understanding that if you do, you will pay extra money for it back to the league. You can sign everybody you want to sign, but you will have to pay for it. So if this number signed as a bonus to Kawhi Leonard, if this number would have put Steve Ballmer and the Clippers over the salary cap, then that obviously becomes a big problem to the NBA, because you're not just now circumventing the rules and very clearly knowingly circumventing the rules, right? This isn't a crime where you can plead ignorance to the law. If you circumvented the rules by doing this, A, if it's true, let's start with that. If it is true, and again, Pablo says he's got receipts. If you circumvented the rules, A, if you knew that you were circumventing the rules when you did this, and if while circumventing the rules, you tried to hide it via shell company, I got to tell you, even though Steve Ballmer has been, I thought, one of the better owners for the NBA. Think about that new building he just built. It is a fan-first experience there. I think they've done a very good job. If they have put this whole thing together in order to circumvent the rules and avoid a payment to the NBA via the luxury tax in order to do it, and in the process of all that, preventing another team that maybe played it the right way and had money for Kawhi but didn't have that $28 million bonus pay, this seems like it would be a big problem. Like a big problem. This is going to be interesting to watch play out. It's big enough to me that I interrupted college football to talk about it for a minute. All right, when we come back here in a minute, we'll do the audio blitz. We got some audio I want to play for you, including more from Dabo Swinney, some from Brian Kelly, some from Dan Lanning across the college football landscape. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. It is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. I'm going to do your audio blitz real quick. I got a couple of sound bites I want to play for you. But before I get there, if you're not watching on the live stream right now, you should. I'm going to give you the phone number. That's not where the video is. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on YouTube. The Fan Upstate on Twitter. The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. And the reason that I want you to go to the live stream right now is because I'm about to put a picture up. I did a screen grab from the broadcast because Joe Tessitore, I'm a fan. Lonzo and I've had the conversation before. Lonzo said the wrestling has helped Tessitore, and I agree with him entirely, because Tessitore has really leaned into what I think is what separates great broadcasters from good broadcasters, and that is having a personality, having a sense of who you are, and being that without taking away from the game, right? The ability to have some sort of personality we can connect with on a personal level while still making the game bigger than you. This is a picture of Joe Tessitore during the game on Saturday, Florida State versus Alabama. Now, I took some flack today because your boy rolled up in here, if you're again watching on the stream, in my loosey-goosey button-up boating shirt with the top collar undone.
It's a very non-football season type of shirt.
It's a very summer vibe.
It's more like, oh, I got a meeting today, which is what I ask you if you had a meeting today.
Nope, this is just the official outfit of being a bro. So, Tessitore.
Are you about to buy a Miata?
No.
Okay.
I would buy a Corvette in this outfit for sure. Tessitore rolled up to do the Florida State-Alabama game. In a fashionable Euro cut blue suit, but he rolled up with the top of his white shirt unbuttoned, a gold chain on top of that, and the beard is grown out. He's dropped the clean shaven look. He's just gone with the salt and pepper beard. He's got the fashionable glasses on. Josh Pate described him as a dude who just got done having some under-the-table conversations in Miami. And I'm like, yeah, it's a good vibe.
I'm curious, spray tan or real tan? I don't know.
My initial thought was, oh, he's going full kayfabe with the in-ring spray tan and everything. Like, he's a little orange.
He's been hanging out with Braun Breaker.
He's been hanging out with Braun Breaker. Like, he's got the orange face. He's radiant. He's got the glow vibe going. And I got to tell you, I get it. I appreciate it. I'm not a spray tan guy myself, but like the suit, no tie, open button, gold chain, fashionable glasses, salt and pepper beard, grown out, trimmed, but nice. That dude, if I told you that is not the number one play-by-play broadcaster in college football and professional wrestling right now, and I told you that guy owned 3 to 5 nightclubs in Miami, you'd believe me.
I think
it's a vibe.
I don't know. I would question the nightclub a little bit because I think it would need a few more gold chains. But that's
I don't know. The one he's got on is pretty lengthy.
I have never been to a nightclub in Miami, and you probably have.
I have.
Okay. Yeah.
And I can tell you, that's the vibe. That's the look.
The guy has his own special booth.
Oh, for sure. That guy didn't have a special. That dude's got his own special room, and there's a curtain in front of it, and you're not welcome back there, but Barbie and Chastity are. Is all I'm saying. All right, let's get a couple of sound bites in here. Let's go with Kalen DeBoer. Press conference after taking the L to Florida State this weekend. All right. I want to keep it a buck here.
What'd you say to me, Pump?
No. That's not the vibe. At least that I took. The vibe was when they said, hey, you said you had a great week. And Kalen DeBoer was like, whoa, what do you mean? What do you mean great week? What do you mean great week? And the guy was like, you said you had a great week of practice going into the Florida State game. I said that? That was of all of the week one L's that got taken, Kalen DeBoer, it's not that his was the worst. It was, but it's not that his was the worst. That was the most deer in the headlights press conference I have seen in a long time. Kalen DeBoer was shocked, stunned into unrecognizability by that. I we've had the conversation about nobody wants to be the dude behind the dude, and certainly nobody wants to be the guy behind the goat. Here is the reality about it. The only guy that would be capable of succeeding as the guy behind the goat is one of the small number of people who want to be the guy behind the goat. The guy who look at it and take it as a personal challenge. You know what? Yeah, you might have had Saban, but I can keep you at that level. That's who the hell I am. And I think Kalen DeBoer had that mentality. I think what Kalen DeBoer is learning right now is just how special Nick Saban was, because that was the most deer in the headlights press conference ever. I don't think he realized what it took for Nick Saban to operate at that level. Now, Cam Newton had a reaction on ESPN to Alabama's loss to Florida State. So, I want you to know that in the conversation about that being about the SEC, I have a visceral reaction to that. Respectfully, no, Auburn. Nobody thinks that about you. You haven't been to a Natty since 2013 and you lost that one. Sorry, Cam. I love you. Nobody thinks that about Auburn or Mississippi State or Kentucky or Missouri. We think that about Alabama and Georgia. And that's it. And that's the list. However, we do think it about Alabama. That's the problem. Everything Cam said is right if you only talk about Alabama. No, Cam, nobody's looking at Kentucky and thinking, powerhouse SEC, we think about when. No, we don't. We think it about Alabama, and we think it about Georgia, and nobody else. Maybe Texas can break into that group. Not what we saw in week one. Maybe Texas A&M can break into that group.
Last year was pretty good, so.
Sure, but again, does anybody look at Texas right now and go, dynasty? No. Yeah, they lost last year to Ohio State. Nobody thinks that. Like, I had a visceral reaction to Cam's tape because he kept saying SEC. Well, you know, SEC championship, national championship. No, 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 Cam. You're right about Alabama. You're Auburn, buddy. No, nobody thinks that about Auburn. With all due respect to Keegan, nobody thinks that about Auburn. Nobody's afraid of Auburn.
I was wondering who you were respecting there, because I
don't. Honestly, Cam. I like Cam.
It didn't really sound that respectful. But, you know,
I like Cam a lot as a broadcaster. I like Cam as a dude. Reality, though, is nobody thinks about Auburn. Sorry. We're thinking about Bama. We're thinking about Georgia. That being said, it is an appropriate thing to say about Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, because those are the expectations at Alabama.
When Cam was there, was that the last time Auburn was relevant?
No. 2013, they played for a national championship. And they lost it. That was the year Florida State under Jimbo Fisher and Jameis Winston beat them in the Natty to win it. But, again, that's it. That's it. That's the list. Nobody has thought about that.
Still a long time ago.
12 years. A dozen years ago. That nobody thinks that. It's just Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. All right, let's get you know what? I did want to play this for the Clemson fans, because we've been dragging you today. All right? This was posted by a LSU podcaster live from the field. As he was leaving the field after the victory by LSU over Clemson, he grabbed three LSU fans who were clearly, let's say, enjoying their evening as they left the field. One of them, who very clearly laid in the LSU or in the end zone and like rubbed the paint all over himself. When I saw this video, I'm like, yo, three drunk LSU fans, this is going to be real bad. Turns out it wasn't. So there you go. Good job, Clemson.
Yeah, it has to do with level of field you're on. Because you go up a little bit higher, you might get, you know, pushed into a wall and get a forearm in your throat. I'm just saying.
I mean, you throw double birds in a dude's face. We got to come back to that, by the way, because I'm going to need the Armada investigative team on something. We got some information earlier I want to get back to about that situation. Let's do one more real quick, because we are going to respond to this in the next hour, the final hour of the show. Mike Gundy the other day, because Oklahoma State is about to play Oregon, and Oregon's favored by all the points. They're favored by all the points. Mike Gundy the other day, you know him, he's a coach, he's 40, except for now he's 58, but he used to be 40, said that he thinks that the Oregon Ducks, with the athletic budget that they have, you know, a gazillion dollars of Phil Knight's money, he said, you know, maybe out of conference, Oregon should only play other teams that are able to spend as much money as they spend. And here was Dan Lanning's response. So, I am on both guys' sides in this fight. I am. Because on one hand, he's got a point. Like, I'm sure that even without T-Boone Pickens, I'm sure Oklahoma State probably has a little bit more money than whatever FCS squad they beat the hell out of this past weekend. UT Martin. I'm sure that they do spend more than UT Martin. So it is a wee bit hypocritical of Mike Gundy to say that. On the flip side, I love Dan Lanning going, you know, we're invested in winning, and other teams, they save to have an excuse for losing.
You have Phil Knight's bank account, Dan.
You know what this is? This is guy sitting on his yacht with his two jet skis parked on the back, waiting on his helicopter to land to take him to his caviar lunch, who looks around and goes, you know, guys, money can't buy happiness. Oh, screw you! Maybe it can't buy happiness. Can buy me a lot that can make me happy. The only people who say money can't buy happiness are the people who have money. I bet it's real easy to say we're invested in winning when Phil Knight's scratching you a $300 million check every offseason, Dano. I'm sure it's real easy to say, you know, we invest in winning and everybody else saves to lose when the founder of Nike gives you a credit card that says spend whatever you want to spend on this. Like, knock it off. Money can't buy happiness. Easy to say from the front seat of your Porsche. Knock it off. Here's a guy who knows that money can't buy happiness. The great one, Lonzo.
Wow. Yeah, I'm poor. Thanks.
Did you not listen to what I just said?
Yeah, whatever. Go away. The new AP Top 25 poll dropped yesterday with the Ohio State Buckeyes claiming the top spot with 55 votes ahead of Penn State at number 2, LSU at number 3. Georgia and Miami round out the top 5 ahead of Oregon, Texas, Clemson, Notre Dame, and South Carolina on the top 10. Despite a win, Arizona State dropped to 12 ahead of Florida and Florida State, who jumped from unranked to 14. The Atlanta Braves lost to the Chicago Cubs 4-3 yesterday. Joey Wentz took the loss, giving up 7 hits and 4 runs in 4 innings. Despite striking out 8, Atlanta had 8 hits, including homers from Ozzie Albies and Eli White. The L.A. Dodgers took a surprising 9-7 loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates last night, but it wasn't without its big moment. Shohei Ohtani hit his 46th home run of the year, which also served as his 100th home run as a Dodger.